So I woke up this morning, and I had a choice to make. Do I get out of bed, or do I roll over and just go back to sleep? I decided to get up, and I wandered down to the kitchen, and I had a choice to make. Which flavor of Cheerios do I want? By the way, it's going to be Cheerios. Really no choice there, but which ones do I want this morning? All done with that, I headed back upstairs, and I looked in the mirror, and I had choices to make. Do I really need to shave today? I mean, I shaved a couple days ago. Does it need a touch-up? Do I need to take a shower? Breath isn't that bad. Do I really need to brush my teeth? All choices. Finished that, and then I'm headed off to the closet and the cabinet and the drawers. And guess what? Choices. What do I wear? You know, got to sort of match, at least. I got to stand in front of people. I mean, I don't want to be a total slob. So what do I wear? Finished that exercise and headed out the door, and guess what? Got in the truck and now I needed gasoline. Well, now I have choices to make. Which gas station do I stop at? Got my gas and headed on up the road. And as I'm going, there's a speed limit sign, and guess what? There's a choice to make. Do I adhere to the letter of the law and drive the speed limit, or do I live in grace and go 5 miles over, or do I throw caution to the wind and just floor it and just get up here as quick as I can? I pull into Stanton, and guess what? I get to that stoplight right there where AutoZone is, and I've got a choice to make. Do I hang a right and go up Statler Boulevard and go come in that way, or do I go through downtown? And then I get to the church, and I got a choice to make because I got the pick of the litter because there ain't another car here in this lot. I can park anywhere I want. Choices. I'm exhausted. I've had to make a lot of decisions this morning. I think I should just go home and go back to bed where I started, but even that's a choice, isn't it? I teased this last week that we all make about 35,000 choices a day. That's a lot of decisions to make. That's a whole lot of decisions to make. In fact, you might just say that your life is just one giant choice, one right after the other. As soon as you finish making one, another one will pop up that you have to make over and over and over. And whether you know it or not, each choice you make sculpts your life. You ever watch those time travel movies, the things like Mr. Destiny or the movies where they change one thing in the past and they come into the future and their whole life is changed, back to the future. This was the whole premise of the movie. How little bitty things like we don't think is significant can change everything. See, choices are important. And this not only applies to my physical life, this definitely applies to my spiritual life. The choices I make in the here and now are important. Now, the first choice I have to make spiritually begins with this idea, Jesus or not. You get it, right? It's a choice. God is not going to force you to follow Jesus. It's your decision. It's your choice. Unfortunately, after we make this decision, we begin to make other decisions, and usually our spiritual life becomes pretty mundane, almost like my drive to church this morning. You know, it's just choices like, what church should I go to? It's an important decision, right? It's a big choice. And you want to choose the right flavor of ice cream for you, right? You want to make sure it's comfortable. Make sure you get along with the people that you're there with. You want to make sure that it meets some kind of needs, that you're getting fed. So it's an important decision. But I don't know, it's one of those choices that just is the most important decisions that we make. We begin to discuss things like, which translation of the Bible should I use? Go to the bookstore and look. There are tons of them. I got a little application that I use to help me prepare sermons. Believe it or not, I've got 122 different translations of the Bible I can choose from. Now, only 80 of them can I actually read because I don't speak some of the languages they're written in. But there are tons of choices out there as far as what version of the Bible I want to go out and have, which translation of the Bible I want to go out and read and use for my study. Sometimes our choices get to the point of which type of music should we play in worship. This is a big topic of discussion, and it's choices that we have to make. Thankfully, I don't make those decisions or those choices. I just write a sermon and say, here, and I let somebody else pick those. Somebody else's choices that they have to make. Sometimes our choices are which food are we to serve at a fellowship event. After all, everybody doesn't like everything, right? You want to have something for everybody, and so these are choices. But you know, these are not the important choices that we need to make. This series, we're going to take a look at four key choices. These are at the root of what it means to be a believer. I guess you can sort of call them the menu we have to look at to make the choices that will change our life.
Good evening. What may I get started for you?
I'm thinking about getting the approval of others.
Should I?
Oh, definitely. I'll have that.
Excellent choice. It comes with 2,000 Facebook likes. And for you, madam?
Well, I will also have the approval of others, but on a bigger, much nicer plate than hers. Can I get the likes and followers?
Of course. Two popularity specials, one with comparison and one without. I'll get that started for you and also bring out a basket of selfie sticks.
Yes, please.
Oh, you're laughing. But you know why you're laughing? Because you can relate to that. These two ladies are sitting at the restaurant and the waiter comes out and he says, "What would you like? Did you catch the dish that they ordered?" I'd like the approval of others. And by the way, that comes with 2,000 Facebook likes. And the other lady wants the approval of others, but on a bigger and nicer plate. And hers came with other things and selfie sticks. And you get exactly the first choice that we're going to talk about. If we're going to live a successful Christian life, sometimes we have to choose purpose over popularity. Now, I say that, and I know what you're going to think. You're going to think, Barry, this is in high school. We don't have Mr. and Mrs. Popularity of the church. We don't have those kind of contests, and this isn't a popularity contest, and I get it. The problem is that maybe you don't understand the word popularity. See, we think popularity in the idea that I am trying to just go out and make everybody like me. You know, I'm supposed to go out there and just do whatever I have to do to make everybody like me. But go look the definition of popularity up, and that's not the definition. The definition of popularity is liked, admired, or enjoyed by many people or by a particular person or group. See, the idea of popularity isn't that I'm trying to win everybody. It's that I've decided the relationship that is the most important to me, and I am going to do whatever it takes to make that relationship work for my life. And you know what? Everybody here does it. You can't shake your head. Everybody does it. The relationships that you want to have impacts what you wear. It does. If you have somebody whose attention you're trying to get and they don't like the color red, then guess what? You won't wear red. You'll wear something else because you know what? They don't like that on you. This doesn't affect me as much because color is what it is. As long as it somewhat matches and Deborah tells me it's okay to wear outside the house, this is what I wear. We're all good. It impacts how we talk and what we say. I know people that when they're around other people, their southern accent seems to come out a little bit more because people think it's cute, so they want to have a little more, although it's not really how they talk. We change the words that we say. We say different things inside of a church than we would outside the church. We'd never use that kind of language inside a church building because you know what? We want the church people to like us. If I talk like that, they wouldn't like me very much, so it affects the way we talk. It affects the people we hang out with because after it's all, if this person doesn't like that person, I want that person to like me, then I can't hang out with this person. You get how this works, right? Even in the adult world. Don't think for a second that we don't have this problem. Believe it or not, it can even impact the things that we eat. My wife hates onions. But for me, just so you know, onions on the pizza and onions on the salad makes the world go around. But when we were dating, guess what? If I wanted a goodnight kiss, hold the onions. Because if I ate them, it won't happen then. So you understand the idea. Because I wanted her to like me, I wanted her to admire me, I wanted a relationship with her, then you understand, I changed the way I ate to impress her, to get closer to her. So don't tell me the idea that relationships don't impact everything that we do, and this idea that I want to be popular, I want things to go my way, I want to have the relationships around me, those priority relationships or how I begin to shape my life. Now, just so you know, going about the idea of making choices based on your relationships, there's really nothing wrong with that. In fact, sometimes we call that compromise. Today, we order the pizza in half, and you know what? My half has onions, and her half doesn't. And you know what? I just tell the people at Domino's, be real careful. No onions on the other half. Okay, I understand how this works. So there's nothing wrong with compromising sometimes to make a relationship work. The problem comes is when we make the choices to achieve popularity, and it begins to impact our purpose. And so this is what we want to talk about this morning. And since I brought up the word purpose, well, what's a purpose? Purposes are important. Defined as the reason for which we do something, or something is done or created, or something exists. So, you know, I have tools in my toolbox, and one of them is a hammer. And just so you know, it is physically possible to put a screw in with a hammer. You can do it, but guess what? It ain't how it's designed to work. It's a lot more work because the hammer has a purpose. It's a driver. It's made to drive nails. Okay, that's what it's supposed to be. Screwdriver is much better for screws. So the purpose is just why something exists. And so we know from our beginning of our year that we laid a new purpose in for this church. And we basically, the leadership here thought, our purpose is to give glory to God by meeting people where they are, sharing Jesus with them in a meaningful way, and encouraging them to live in a growing relationship with Him. And I told you, you'd see this again. Because we don't want this to become words on a page, but basically the leadership of this church sees the purpose of the church as a means to go out and reach people that are lost, people out in the world. Thus, the decisions that we make inside the church should reflect our purpose and not what is popular, because popularity never trumps purpose. At least, it shouldn't. But unfortunately, many times we do. It trumps it. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great for the church, but what about me, the individual? Because I didn't come here today to get a lesson on the purpose of the church. I came here to get something that I can put into my life. Well, hopefully you do, as an attending member of this church or attendee of this church, you see that purpose as your purpose. I hope so. But let's just break that down, because I think maybe that entire purpose is a little bit much. So let's talk about you this morning. Because you realize you're part of that purpose. The last little sentence in that purpose says to live in a growing relationship with Him. So just as I wanted to live in a growing relationship with my wife, I also want to live in a growing relationship with God, and I want to live in that kind of relationship. So there are some choices that I have to make that relationship work in my life. Just like I wasn't allowed to eat onions when I was dating. There are some things in my life I have to decide. If I'm going to have this relationship, I got to make some choices. And the first choice we have to make is living for the approval of people can keep you from the purpose of God. Now, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. That's where we're going to be. If you don't have your Bible, I encourage you, grab the one out of the pew rack in front of you, make your way to page 1192, and you'll be exactly where I am right now. Okay? And that being said, if you don't want to do any of those, you can follow along on the screen, because this is where we're going this day. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26 says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his eternal reward." And I want to tell you something. That's a big, important verse. And there's a lot into this verse that we can poke at this morning. And remember, we hung out with Moses just a few weeks back. If you go back to the Wonder Woman series, and we were talking about the Wonder Women of the Bible. And remember, in that series, we talked about Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. But remember, Moses had two moms. Moses had not only Jochebed, Moses had what I'm going to call a worldly mother. Now, I'm not calling this lady a bad person. I never met her. She lived long before I was ever walking on this planet. I don't even know her name. I'm sure some historian does. So I'm not saying she's a bad person when I call her a worldly mom. But I'm talking about there was a worldly philosophy to how she lived her life. You see, when you began to think about it, this mom represented comfort. She was Pharaoh's daughter, which meant that they lived in a palace, which meant that they were there to be waited on. It meant that they had the nicest of the nicest. They had the plush pillows, and they had the nice big goose down feather comforters, and you know, they had all the things that, you know, they had the nice plates and utensils, and when they came to the dinner, it wasn't scraps for dinner, it was always nice meals, and so they had comfort. They were being waited on. They had servants. Matter of fact, they had slaves. Moses didn't have to get up in the morning and choose to make his own bed. He could just walk away and say, that's somebody else to do, take care of that. They didn't have to put the dishes in the dishwasher when they were done, because guess what? That's somebody else's job to do that. He didn't have to worry about fixing his own meals or picking out his own clothes, or he didn't have to do any of that. Why? Because somebody was there to wait on him. Man, I'd like to have this life. It meant the best education. We forget about this, but Moses wasn't a dumb person. As a matter of fact, growing up in the Pharaoh's house meant that he went to all the places, and he would have learned about managing a kingdom, and he would have learned about all of the gods of Egypt, and he would have learned about all of philosophy, and he would have learned about science, which was very big in the Egyptian era. They were very scientific in their approach. And so he would have learned about all of this. He would have had the best of the best. He would have had all the education out there for him. He would have got to hang around the in crowd. Growing up, all of Moses' friends would have been Egyptian. They would have been the in crowd. They would have been the people that were connected to the upper echelon. They would have been the group that wore the members-only jackets with their collars up. That means nothing to you. That means you didn't grow up in my era. But you do understand, they would have been the crowd that everybody wanted to hang out with. Everybody said, ooh, look at them. I want to be them. That's who Moses grew up with. Moses had royalty from the worldly perspective. If all the cards played right, there was a chance Moses could have been in charge of Egypt. Moses could have had everything. Moses could have been king. He could have had everything that was out there. He was part of the royal line. Now, through adoption, and everything would have had to fall just in the right way, or Moses could have helped along a little ways. But Moses had a claim to the throne. He was royalty. Now, I told you, Moses had two moms. So he had the worldly mom, but he also had a godly mom. Now, this is not me saying that she was a wonderful person. I never met her either. Okay? But I wanted to take a look at the philosophy, because Moses had this decision to make, the worldly mom or the godly mom. And the godly mom brought some things too. Okay? The godly mom meant hard work. Ugh. Remember what these people did. They were slaves, and so you know what? If I choose to go with them, then these people are out in the hot sun all day long making bricks. And these are the people that, while I'm sitting here going and eating, these are the people making the meals, and these are the people making the beds, and these are the people doing the grunt work. This is going to be hard work. It meant being mistreated instead of being waited on. Now, since they were slaves, that meant that they were property. And so nobody worried about the time clock, okay? It wasn't, well, you worked your 8 hours, so you go home and enjoy your life. No, when did you go? When the master said you could go. So that meant if you chose this life, that meant you were going to be a slave for the rest of your life. It meant that somebody was going to control your life for the rest of your life. It meant that he was going to have to learn how to make bricks. Instead of sitting in the classroom and learning about science, instead of looking in the classroom and learning about all the other things, instead of having a nice, comfortable classroom, his lessons were going to be taught in the school of life. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with a brickmaker. Please don't take that the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with construction, but construction is hot work, okay? I don't know anybody from construction that doesn't have some kind of a tan or a burn or something during this time of year, because guess what? It is sunny, hot work. You are outdoors all the time, and if you like that, that's cool, but just think about it. This was a choice Moses was going to have to make, not a formal education. He was going to be choosing to take all the formal education and throw it away. You know what? I'm just going to go and live this way. He was going to be choosing to hang out with the outcasts. Ugh. You know, those people that everybody avoids when they come down the hall, those people that nobody else wants to hang out with, the people that are picked last when they're choosing up the kickball teams. Yeah, that's who Moses was picking to choose out, hang out with. I mean, these are the choices. I could either hang out and be popular, or I could hang out with the people that nobody wants to hang out with. He was going to choose, instead of royalty, slavery. And all the things that came with it. Instead of a crown, he's choosing the whip. And I'm not talking to hold the whip. He's talking to live under oppression. And I began to look at these two things, and you know what? This doesn't sound like much of a choice, right? I mean, if I'm given these choices, I can live in comfort, air conditioned and padded pews, or I can go out and just have to work hard all the time. What do we usually choose? Well, note where we're sitting. We're sitting in the air conditioned and the padded pews, and we're not sitting out in the parking lot. Why? Because this is comfortable. That's hot out there. So we tend to choose the things that make comfortable. Am I going to choose to be served? Am I going to choose to be a servant? We usually choose, I'd rather be served. I'd much rather somebody bring me my food than I have to go and get it. We choose to want to be popular and hang out with the in crowd. We choose to be, so as we make these choices, we begin to make choices based basically on this one. Based on this left-hand side where Moses is choosing the other, we choose the worldly. And well, Moses, he chose option two. And I begin to look at this and I'm like, why? Why would anybody in their right mind choose option two when option one was right there for the taking? Why would you in your right mind choose to go out and be a slave when you had the right to be a king? Aren't you interested to know why somebody would make such a choice? Because I don't make this choice very well. I'd much rather be served than be a servant. But you see, the thing about option two is that Moses began to see the value in what God was. I mean, remember when Moses made this choice, this was pre-burning bush. God didn't come down to Moses and say, ooh, listen to me, Moses, till later in life. This was pre-Red Sea crossing. Moses hadn't experienced the power of God. He hadn't watched those waters part. This was pre-God meeting Moses on the mountain. So Moses is going to make this choice before he ever heard or saw the voice of God or the person of God. In fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 1 and you read the story of Moses, you get Moses drawn from the water when he was a baby. The next story you get is the story that connects to this verse where Moses is making this choice. So we have no indication whatsoever that God and Moses had ever had a chat before Moses made these decisions. Now I'm really interested, because Moses made a really difficult choice that I don't think that I have the gumption to make sometimes. But let's begin to look at why Moses made this choice. And it begins with one simple idea. His value system was right side up. And very often ours is upside down. This is what it reads in Hebrews there about Moses' choice. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ, greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his eternal reward. So in making this choice, I'm going to live for my purpose over my popularity. Moses actually made three choices. And believe it or not, even though the culture has changed and we are thousands and thousands and thousands of years away from Moses, you know it's the same three choices that we have to make? If we're going to choose to live for our purpose instead of popularity, the choices haven't changed. And that makes this a very important idea. So we're going to look at the three choices that Moses made. And the first choice Moses made, Moses chose not to be a consumer. Now, when I say that, Moses looked out and he saw the things that went with Mom 1, the things that went with the world. What did he call? He called them fleeting. Now, fleeting doesn't necessarily mean temporary. You know what fleeing is, right? It comes from the same idea of fleeing. That means there are things that tend to run away from you. And if they're running away from you, in order to have those things, what do you have to do? You have to chase them. And after you chase them and you catch them, then you have to hold on to them. And if you don't hold on to them, then what happens? Well, they get away and then you have to go chase them again. So when it says Moses looked at the Egyptians' world and he looked at Mom 1, he saw all the things that they were chasing were fleeting. fleeting. They ran away from him. They had to work awful hard to hang on to him. And as Moses looked at those, just so you know, they were fun. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they were pleasurable. I mean, it's not like nobody was having fun in the Egyptian kingdom. And that's not, it's not like they were sitting around and saying, we have no idea, we're just bored all day long and nothing to do. These people were having a ball. They were having a party. They were celebrating. They were at the top of the food chain. They were the kingdom of that time. They were Egypt. And you know what? Moses looked at him and said, yeah, but what you got? I don't know that it's there for me to last. He realized, this isn't going to last. If I choose mom number one and I go with the worldly value system, I choose to live in comfort, eventually something's going to happen to make me uncomfortable. If I choose to be served, eventually everybody's going to get tired of serving me and I'm going to have to figure out how to fend for myself. The best education does not guarantee a successful life, does it? I mean, lots of college graduates never fulfill their purpose. Just because I choose to have the pleasure now, it's not going to last. And Moses began to see this, and so he understood they would put him on an endless path to living for the next big thing. We have a cell phone company out there these days, and this is their tagline. It's the next big thing. Of course, sometimes they mean it literally because the phone keeps getting bigger. You're going to need a pocketbook to carry that thing around in soon. I prefer my kind that fits into my pocket. But it's the next big thing. And you get what the connotation is. And they call it the next big thing. You know what they're offering, they're telling you to do, right? Get in on the ground level. Everybody's going to want our product. It's the next big thing out there. It's the thing that's going to make your life substantial. It's the thing that's going to make you popular. So get it now while going's good. Because later on it's going to probably cost you more. But you do understand, later on, it's no longer the next big thing. It's the outdated technology because the next big thing just got here. And so I have to consume the next big thing. And the next big thing. And the next big thing. And my life just begins to consume big things. And being a consumer becomes addictive. Now, we use that term, addict. And yeah, it goes in a lot of different directions. Sometimes addict means that we're addicted to substances like drugs, alcohol, or food. Sometimes addictive means that we are addicted to unhealthy relationships. Relationships just seeking sex or attention. Do you realize there are attention addicts out there? They don't get enough attention. They have to do something to draw attention to themselves. Sometimes our addiction is just material. It's just stuff. But you do understand that devaluing of addiction is the fact that you are trying to fix a permanent problem with a temporary fix. And that's not me coming down on the addicts, because even addicts will tell you. How do they get addicted to alcohol? Well, they're trying to fix a temporary problem by getting drunk. How do you get addicted to drugs? You begin to fix a temporary problem by taking a substance to make you feel better. How do you get addicted to food? It's called comfort food for a reason. Because I get addicted to it because it makes me feel good when I eat it because it tastes good. See, Moses looked at the world and he said, you know what? I don't want to be an addict. I don't want to do the popular things, because where these people are going reminds me a lot of what Solomon is eventually going to say. What did Solomon say going after this lifestyle is like? He called it chasing after the wind. He called it trying to wrap your arms around the wind and hold tight to it. In case you've ever tried that, it doesn't quite work like the cell phone commercial where they take the jar and catch it. It doesn't work that way. You can't catch the wind. You can't chase the wind. So Moses decided, not me. I'm going to make a choice. I'm not going to just be about consuming my life. Of course, that led to the second choice, because Moses chose to invest in the better value. Now, I don't care who you are. Every single person wants some return on their investment. We call it bang for the buck. We also want to make the best use of our time. We want to do everything. We want to make sure we get the most for the investment that we put out there. We want to make sure everything gives us some kind of return. Now, in doing this, that's what makes Moses' choice awesome. Because it says that he chose to follow Christ. Now, I find this an odd choice because the Hebrews person is writing it from a perspective that he's writing historically about Moses. But when Moses made these choices, was he really choosing to follow Christ? No. How do I know? Because Christ is thousands of years into the future. I mean, there's no way Moses, somebody said, oh, there's going to be this sacrifice, and he's going to come down and do this, and you're going to have to follow Christ. And he was not necessarily following Christ, but what's going on here is he is choosing to be Christ-like. Think about his choices. He's choosing to make a sacrifice rather than be served. He's choosing to be a servant rather than be served. He's choosing all of these things in such a way that it models very much how Jesus would one day live his life. Moses is making these choices also. You see, Moses began to see value in following God. Just want to let you know, that's not easy. I'm going to answer the age-old question, why don't people come to church? Do you know what the answer is? You're going to be astonished at the answer. Why don't people come to church? Because they see no value in it. That's why they don't come to church. They don't understand the value in it. The time and the energy that it takes to get here is not worth what they're going to get out of it. That's the reason that they're over there in the park running, because they get value out of that. That's the reason that they're out there washing their car, because there's value in that. The reason people don't come to church is because they don't see value in what is being done at the church. Now, that's important for me to realize, because why aren't they seeing value in the church? Well, yeah. Where did Moses see the value of following God? Mom, too. Moses began to watch those, and they're like, man, they got something in their life. I don't know what it is, but you know what? It looks awful good. And so, you know what? I think I'm going to choose that. So if we want to solve where people are on Sunday morning, then you know what? We have to get them to see the value in what we're doing. And that means they're going to have to look at our lives and see what it's doing in my life. Now, maybe Moses just saw what the Egyptians were doing as futile. But Moses began to see exactly what Jesus saw about the investment plan. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We're going to take a deeper dive in this little verse when we get to our series in the fall called I Quit. But for right now, this is what I want you to see Jesus is bringing in here. Don't try to fix permanent with temporary. It's the same thing before. Don't put your investment in the things that are going to only last for a little while. Put your things in the investments that are going to last forever. See, Moses began to see this when he looked at the Egyptian life. He said, you know what? What you got is good, but then what? What you're doing with your life right now is good, but what about the next phase of your life? You know, I'm in high school now, not me personally, but I'm in high school now, and I'm doing these things, and well, when high school is over, what next? Well, there's college, and so then I'm going to be doing the college things, and when college is over, what next? Well, I'm going to hopefully get a job, and I'm going to get married, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have kids, and I'm going to go through all of those seasons of life, and then what? Well, I guess eventually I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go live the good life. I'm going to go live on a beach somewhere, and I'm going to fish and hunt, not me personally, and I'm going to do all the things that I couldn't do because I was too busy making money growing up, and I'm just going to live the good life. Really? And then what? What do you mean, and then what? I guess life is over. You die. Okay? And then what? Oh, wait a minute. This choice Moses make was a little bit more than just making a choice to be a servant. You see, Moses chose to live for today and tomorrow instead of today. And I got a spiritual word for that. Yuck. This isn't a really popular idea of living for tomorrow, is it? After all, I'm a Dead Poet Society kind of guy. Carpe diem, right? Seize the day. Maybe you're a Lion King kind of fan. Hakuna Matata. No worries. Just be happy. Slimy but satisfying. Okay? Maybe that's you. But Moses looked at all of this and, well, this was probably the most difficult choice he ever had to make. Or is it? Think about this for a second. Why do I watch what I eat and I work out? It certainly isn't for today, because I'd much rather go get the Big Mac, and I got other things I could do with that 45 minutes a day. Why do I put money into a savings account so that we can have money for retirement in college? Well, it certainly is for today, because there are things I could do with that money. Of course, imagine me showing up the day before college starts. Say, yeah, I think now's a good time to start putting money away. Yeah, that's called student loans. Why, let's break it down a little further. Why do I do maintenance on the car, like change the oil and rotate the tires? It certainly isn't because it's convenient, because I got to think to the mechanic and I got to walk up to the church while they're doing the work on the car. It inconveniences my life to do this in the day, but why am I doing all this stuff? Because I want the car to last, because I want to be able to pay the bills in the future, because I want to be able to live a healthy life as I get older. You see, all throughout my physical life, I'm constantly making these decisions not to live for today, but to live for tomorrow. But in my spiritual life, not so much. Don't believe me? Go look at our prayer list. What's our prayer list usually consist of? Heal me. Fix my physical problems. Fix my physical needs, God. It's all about the today. I cannot tell you the last time somebody came to me and said, you know what? I'm really worried about this eternal thing. And you know what? Not only for me, I'm really worried about this eternal thing for so-and-so, when we've got a friend or a family member. You know why? It's really simple. Because we're making the popular choice over the purpose choice. And it's much more popular to live for today. God, if you heal me today, I can live a very popular life and look at all the good I can do. And God's saying, you know what? That's not the way this works. See, we have to begin to make some spiritual choices. We have to begin to live not for today, but we have to begin to live for tomorrow. And I just want to let you know something. That's hard. It is. It is. It's harder than you think it is. Maybe it's harder. You already know exactly how hard it is. Because you know what? Today is today, and sometimes I am just trying to make it to bedtime. I am. I got up, and I'm just trying to make it to where I have the kids tucked in bed, and everything is good, and I can just sit there and go, I made it. Another day in the books. You know what the sad thing is? The clock's going to go off in the morning. And it starts over. And it just keeps going, and it keeps going, and I keep living for today, because guess what? Today is what's important to me. Moses looked at his today and said, you know what? It's all good. What about tomorrow? And then what? You know, Moses had a protege that came along in his life a little later. His name was Joshua. And, well, Joshua threw the gauntlet down, and this was the words from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether it's the God of your ancestors, those things that were popular in the past, or whether it's whether it's the God of the ancestors beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, the land that you're living in, the gods of the here and now. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is an important verse, because the people of Israel had a choice on who they were going to serve. So do we. You know, all kind of gods out there you can serve. You do. And you know what? A lot of those gods are popular. They mean you don't have to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. It means that you don't have to live with all the do's and don'ts in your life. It means that you can live your life just as you want to live it. You can do that. But you do get it, right? It's a choice. It's a choice between purpose or popularity. And I don't mean popularity is just dealing with the culture, doing those things that will make you popular in your own eyes. Because really, that's what this is all about. But here's the important thing you need to know. Every choice you make has a consequence to it. If I climb up to the top of a building and I jump, what's going to happen? I'm going to splat on the concrete below. Why? It's called gravity. Okay? And gravity is a law. Okay? And unless I have a backpack or a plane or something to overcome gravity, I'm going to fall. It's a natural consequence to the choices that I make. And you understand when I begin to choose popularity over my purpose, there's a natural consequence in the fact that the Bible says we're going to be tossed to and fro amongst every wave. Because what's popular today isn't popular tomorrow. Izod shirts, which everybody raved over when I was a kid, most people don't even know what an Izod shirt is. You know, if it wasn't for the new Star Wars movies, my kids wouldn't have a clue what Star Wars is. Because you know what? The world changes. Culture changes. That which is popular, we don't have silly bands anymore, which was the rave when Caleb was a kid, and they're all gone now. Because you know what? What's popular will change. The question is, are you choosing in your life that which is purposeful, which will make all the difference?